Hi everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Talking Assets Podcast. In this episode, I had the opportunity to sit down with one of my accounting heroes, Dr. Bruce Luby. Dr. Luby started his career working in public accounting before returning to higher education to earn his PhD in accounting at Drexel University. Ultimately, Dr. Luby ended up as a professor at LaSalle University, and he is one of the main reasons why I decided to pursue a career in accounting, and also why I decided to go back to school and become an accounting professor myself. Dr. Luby has been an incredible mentor, and I wanted to start by talking to him about his philosophy on teaching.
Yeah, no, I remember I had you for Biz 100 in the spring of my freshman year. Right. And then I think I had you for managerial accounting the fall of my sophomore year.
Okay.
I remember, so my first class was with Brezina, and I started off as a MIS and finance double major. And I had Paul's class, and I just remember, wow, this, like, I didn't, like you, I didn't know what accounting was too much, and I kind of just thought, you know, it's kind of a boring profession, and, you know, you just, you know, accountants are by nature boring, and I saw Paul up there, and I was like, wow, this guy, he's got everything going, he's got his own practice on the side, and he's teaching, and he seems like he loves what he's doing on a day-to-day basis. And after that Biz 101 class with Brezina, I changed to accounting right away. And I was so fortunate because, like, every class that I had after that, like when I moved into your class, and I moved into, people like Jeannie Welsh's classes and Kristen Wenzel's class and Al Masmini's classes, it was all the same experience. Like, all of you, I think it's very uncommon. This department has, like, this culture of, like, everybody just loves teaching here. They love working with the students here. And people like you, you had a huge impact on me in wanting to be a professor and do what you do. So I wanted to thank you for that.
You're very welcome, Manesh. Thank you for the kind words. It's funny, as a professor, you don't know how you impact people. And then later in life, when you get some feedback, it's kind of like some of the weird things they tell you is like, really? And I don't know if you know Matt Melanson, right? So he was in my class and he said to me, do you remember what you told me? And I'm thinking, you know, was it technical or something? But he refreshed my mind. He said, it was about a job. He says, and you told me no matter what the job is, he says, if you get a job offer, take it. The experience is going to be amazing. He says, you can always change and go in a different direction. He says, so I was so focused on that first job and was it the ideal job? And he says, and you just reassured me to get the experience and then, you know, see where it takes you. So you don't remember things like that, but you do say things to people and they do latch on to different things. So,
it's
kind of interesting.
And I think what you do so well is, I don't know, my opinion is, like, when I had you as a student, you made me feel comfortable. You kind of had, like, this playfulness about you, and I don't know if that's intentional or what, but you would tell jokes, and I remember April 2002, I had you for Biz 100, and it's like Philly's opening day, and it's my best friend's birthday, and we're both here on campus, and we're supposed to have, like, this Friday session for Biz 100, and I get to the session with my friends who are also in the class, and we say, Doc, it's Philly's opening day. Could we skip class? And we're kind of saying it jokingly. And you're like, yeah, sure, get out of here. And so we go down to the Phillies game. We had a great time. It was important that you do things correctly and you have respect and, you take it seriously. But you had this side to you where, you know, it can't all be that, you know, you should be having fun along the way. And that's something that I really admired when I had you as a student. And even now, I tell the jokes in class, and I don't know if you know it, but that joke telling, it came from you. You know, it was, I love that so much about your courses, that you would, you know, tell these awful dad jokes, and, you know, you call them dad jokes, but you told these awful jokes in class, and they always got a laugh. And so, you know, that's something that I took from your courses.
Well, the good thing is you don't have to know too many of them, because you can repeat them, because you keep getting different students.
Yeah. But,
you know, it's a, you know, I think I'm demanding, but I try to downplay it to the students. So other professors will say, you know, I'm really hard, and if you don't want to work hard, drop this course, and I want this case done, and it's really hard. And I say, well, you have a case due, but I say, it's not a big deal. But it is a big deal. But I try to downplay it, say, it won't take you that long. And I do try to instill humor. I do try to meet and know every student. I take pride that I know their names and things like that. I mean, I might forget them in two semesters, but when they're in class, I see them. And I used to make it an effort to always walk around campus, because I wanted to see them in a different environment. So I would, you know, in the old days when we would go get our mail underneath the stadiums, a lot of people had the administrative assistants get their mail. Well, I walked over intentionally so I could walk through the union and I could see two or three people, and I could just stop and say hi for a minute. So
yeah,
that was an intentional thing. I mean, I do it now, but you know, it has to be downstairs in the lobby, that I'll just walk through and see who can I see and go chat with them for 30 seconds or something. And I think that means a lot to their educational experience, that it's more than just education. You know, there's other things.
And I think that's part of maintaining the community. Like, you're a member of the community. You're not here just to do a job. It's, you know, you're part of LaSalle. I think that's awesome that you do that. Maybe could you talk to me about, like, you know, the technical side of teaching, when you're prepping a lecture on a particular topic? You know, what's your approach to doing that? What's your approach in the classroom? How do you structure your lecture, that type of thing?
I remember when I was in public accounting, and we would have technical updates from partners. One partner would be boring as heck, and the other partner would be loosey-goosey, present the same material, but was very, very casual and not stiff, and kind of like a little bit of humor injected. And I saw that, and I always thought that's how I would want to do things. So I prepare for classes, even though I've taught these courses forever. I'm always preparing every single class. I know exactly what I want to do. I have a listing of when I finish one class, the next class, I create a list. What am I going to do? You know, this, you know, structurally. But when I go into class, I want to have a feeling that I'm not so structured. And I want to present it like, oh, well, let's try this and let's do this. And it may seem like, you know, he's pulling things out of the air, but it's structured and it's done in a lackadaisical, comfortable type style.
Yeah.
So, you know, if I see students that look like they're wandering or that they're bored, then I got to get their attention and I got to do something different. So, I'll just digress in class. And I tend to use a tremendous amount of stories. And it's funny because after students graduate, I run into people and they tell me, don't stop the stories. And, you know, so.
Got you. I think that the storytelling, it makes it real for the students. But then also, I think the way that you and Paul both told your stories, there was a bit of, I don't know if irreverence is the right word, but it was like you were telling the story as if, like, you don't need to be afraid, right? Somebody's going to get upset with you that you have to go and pull out this refrigerator. But what's the big deal? You know, like, you know, it's you don't need to be afraid of this stuff, and you don't have to have so much reverence for it that you consider it infallible and you're not allowed to question things. And I think that made, at least it made me feel more comfortable that, does this make sense, or why are they doing it this way? And I think when you start thinking like that, the concepts, they stick better, because you start questioning things and understanding why. And so it was that intentional as well?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, like when you teach introductory accounting, not everybody's an accounting major. And so I said, who's a marketing major? And they raised their hands and I said, do you think you should be studying accounting? And they go, not really, why am I doing this? So I said, okay, let's take a tour and I'll take them through a store. And so a lot of times I would use Toys R Us, and I would tell them that my wife would go to Toys R Us to get diapers at cost. And I said, but to get the diapers are in the back of the store, and she has to migrate through all these things. And I would tell them what was in each aisle. You start with the party goods, and then you got into the Pac-Mans and the clothing and all that. And I would talk about margins. How much money are you making on certain items? And who placed these items here? And who did the store layout? So that when I was done, the marketing person would say, wow, if you have a store layout, you got to understand your profitable items from your unprofitable, and where do you place them? And I actually put questions on their exams to ask them where they would place items in a display, on a window, or, so that they can think about strategy of management. Uh-huh. So it's relative, but if the marketing major doesn't see that, they go, why do I need to know this? So, uh-huh. There's a lot of things that we can talk about that would make it relative to the other discipline. I always tell them about my son. I said, he went to work, he was a marketing major. He went to work for the Metro newspaper.
Right.
And after a year, they said to him, well, do the budgeting for this department. And he said, budgeting? that's accounting. What am I doing that for? Presented in a way that is kind of funny, and he would come home and complain to me, I can't believe I got to do accounting stuff, I'm a marketing major. And I do something that no other professor probably does. In my freshman class, whether it's 101 or 102, I give them extra credit for reading articles that relate to what we're doing. And so every Tuesday, if I teach Tuesday, Thursday, they write an article, summarize an article, and relate it to our course. And I initial it. I give it back to them. At the end of the semester, they turn it in, and they can get 5 points added onto their final average.
Wow.
Not added on to a test or anything like that, but you can go from an 88 average to a 93, right?
Wow.
So a B plus to an A. Mm-hmm. And then they write a reflection paper on what they've done. And I read these reflection papers and I go, this is exactly what I want to hear. The students will say, when I was in high school, I just read the sports page. I didn't care about anything else. But I read about this fraud that was happening at this company. I read about this IPO. I read about this, whatever it happens to be. And it engaged them into continuing to read about it and to write about it. And so I've been doing that for probably 25 years. Mm-hmm. And I tell them, I said, no professor is going to give you this opportunity. And the ones that don't take advantage of it, they're so sad at the end of the semester. Because, where are you going to get 5 points added onto your grade?
Yeah, but that's worth a lot.
it's generous. But it's taking the young people, they're realizing that accounting is pervasive. It's everywhere. And whether you want to believe it or not, it impacts everybody's life. And they got to read the business sections and, the econ, the what's happening with the interest rates and stuff like that. So, I've done that, and it's worked out well, and I always do it. So,
you talked a lot about your preparation for the classroom, and it does take, in my opinion, it takes a lot of preparation to give that feel of spontaneity and taking things in different directions in the classroom. But how did you? What's your philosophy on assessment? So when you make exams, what are your strategies? How do you go about that?
Well, I try to assess them in various ways. So like in auditing, I'll always have multiple choice, but I'll always have essays. I might put many cases in there. So I try to give them multiple options to shine. So I don't have a, you know, a one size fits all. It was funny, somebody asked me to cover somebody's class because they weren't going to be able to come on campus and they were given an exam. And I said, okay, and I gave the exam and it was all multiple choice and you could have marked it in a minute each, you know, yeah. It's so easy. And I went, why am I doing what I'm doing? Because when I have all these essays, I read everything, you know, we don't have any graduate assistants or anything. Yeah. And it's a lot more effort, but I think it's beneficial. They learn better.
Yeah. So speaking of kids, though, you know, it just made me think of this. What was it like having Jeff, you know, in the program while you were a professor here? Was that did you ever have him in class, or, you know, was it strange having your son in your school?
Well, what happened was they originally put him in my introductory accounting class.
Okay.
And Sue Mudrick was working at the time, and she said, oh, I put Jeff in your class. And I said, you can't do that. I said, that's going to impact him. It's going to impact me. I won't be acting normal. You know, I'll be a different person, so to speak. And so she put him in Paul Brazina's class.
Okay.
And then when he had Business 100, he had Dave Jones in marketing. And Dave Jones and I would merge our classes together. I'm not sure if you were in that class. When he would talk about marketing, you know, okay. We would join our two classes together and he would lead on marketing. And then when we would talk about financial statements, we'd bring them together and I would talk to both classes and we would do something like that. So it was the only time Jeff was ever in class. But the interesting thing, he's our only son. So when he left home, you know, mom misses him tremendously. What I would do is I knew his class schedule and I would just go by that class and I'd peek in and I'd see him. I'd say, okay, he's going to class, everything's good. So when he got to be a senior, his roommates would invite me to their, they lived in the townhouses. They'd invite me to the townhouses and I would bring like steaks, right? So they would say, the first time I did it, I blew their mind because I brought really nice steaks. I filled up the car and then I would call Jeff and his roommates and say, unload the car. And of course they were of age, so there was beer in there, but I mean, I had burgers and hot dogs and all. And at the time there were grills outside of the townhouses. They've since taken them down, but there were grills there. And I would tell all my students, come by tonight. You know, we're gonna have hot dogs and hamburgers. And I mean, there'd be hundreds of kids come by and we were feeding them and you know, Jeff and his buddies, they got the steak early on, so they got the good stuff, right? but we had a little party, and then all of a sudden, they liked it so much, they said, when are you coming back? So I probably went back five or six times, and it's funny, because Jeff never invited me, you know? I still tell him today, and he said, oh, Dad, you know, I said, no, you never invited me. Your roommates invited me because they wanted a good meal. And so we had some good times with that, so... But oh, I never had him in class. One time he actually, I was teaching taxes and I told him that he should sit in the class. He should audit the course because he should know how to do taxes. And even to this day, when he comes over, he'll bring all his tax stuff over. I have him put it all in the TurboTax and do his own taxes. And then I'll look at it to make sure he got it right. So, but he sat in for a few weeks and, you know, students would say, what are you doing here? And he goes, well, I'm auditing the class. And they thought that was weird. That was the only time. And that wasn't a big class, you know.
Okay. Oh, that's, and did he live here all 4 years when he was a student?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah. He actually lived down the hall from Brother Jerry the first year.
Okay.
That was in Albert's Hall.
Yeah.
And Jeff said to me, do you know that guy, that Brother Jerry guy? And I said, yeah. He says, he knows my name. And I said, I said, really? So then I would go to Brother Jerry and I would say, so what are they doing? He never told me one thing. He said, "Oh, they're fine. They're doing good." He wouldn't tell me a darn thing, but yeah. You know, if there were some shenanigans going on, I never got the story from Brother Jerry.
Well, that's how it should be.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
can't betray that trust.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Okay. And so, Jeff, so I was a student with Jeff and, you know, we never, hung out together, but we were very friendly and it was great seeing him when you invited him back for your financial planning class. And he was talking about what he does, right. now. I was blown away, by the charting and, you know, his, views on forecasting and stuff like that. It was impressive. And, you know, as I've been able to talk to him a little bit about like things like NFTs and, you know, it's really cool. Some of the things that he's interested in, he's kind of like a Renaissance man. He has interest everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was always into music and then, you know, studied marketing. The last thing he wanted to do was anything financial. And now in the last few years, all he wants to do is financial type stuff. So it's kind of cool, but,
And you said you've used his music, right? For some things.
Yeah, at the end of every class I have, I play music that he created when he was a teenager. Okay. And I have these PowerPoint slides that I use that are kind of motivational type thing. And the students kind of like it, you know, it's, I was going to say, I don't think I'm that smart. I just think I'm determined. So as I said, my first two accounting courses were C's. My undergraduate, I was a B major, a B average. So I was a 3.0 type student. I mean, obviously did better in graduate school. So I think that helps me teach students because I can appreciate the average student and the struggles they go through because I never felt that I was gifted, but I was willing to work hard. So.
All right. Well, sorry that I took up so much of your time, but thanks for talking with me today.
It's been a pleasure.
I learned a lot about, especially when we were talking about teaching and stuff like that. So I really appreciate it.
Good. You're welcome. Good talking to you, and I'll see you around campus.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Cheers, Tom. Cheers.